Well, I'm going to change that because that's really not right. I'm going to a grace message here. I am. You know, I was thinking how people sing that. It's like, Lord, I'm holding on to you. And I thought, no, I am is holding on to you.
There you go.
Natalia, I am is holding on to you. Stand up this morning. I want you to find three people and tell them two things that God's done for you. Find three people, not your neighbor. You have to get away from your neighbor. Y'all have to get away from your neighbor. Get away from your neighbor. I want you to find three people and tell them two things that God has done for you. All right, go. Do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Am I on there, brother? Thank you, Jesus. That's great. Awesome. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hey, Andrew, put that in the offering. Okay. All right. Is that awesome? Huh? Isn't that good? You just remain standing this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, guys, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Thank you for doing that. You know, so many times we come and gather as believers, but we don't have the time. You know, time permits us. Many times we have to get out the door, and we don't know what's going on in people's lives. We don't get to share very much, and you don't know how much you're loved and how much you're appreciated. I tell you, Holly and I love you guys. I mean, you are so loved by us, and, you know, if you miss a Sunday, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, it's not that I really struggle as a pastor, you know, because it's like, don't do that. You know, most of you are kind and say, you know, you'll get me on Facebook and say, Pastor, I'm out, or we're going to see family, and, you know, that's good. I like to know that, but, man, you know, I love you, you know, and I just love you. You are loved today. I'll tell you, you are. You're loved today. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, been kind of taking off this scripture a little bit, studying some on this. I've got a lot to say today, guys, so I just want to get it in, but I want you to receive it. I want you to get it in your receiver. Now, may the God of peace, isn't he? He's the God of peace. That's one thing you need to understand about God. He is the God of peace. The God of peace. Amen. You need to have peace in your emotions. Your heart needs to be at peace at all times. Your heart needs to be at peace at all times. Amen? Because we serve the God of peace. He is shalom. That word, nothing lacking, nothing broken in your life. Amen? Himself, the God of peace himself, sanctify you, set you apart, sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hold up your Bible this morning. Say it with Pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, I hate religion. How about you? Love people. Hate religion, right? Religion has killed more people than anything else. Churches all around this city today are filled with religious folks. Religious people are mean people. They're mean. They are mean people. They're out to get you. I'm just telling you. I've been around some. I really don't care to be around them. I love them, and I pray for them. I pray God to give them light, revelation of his grace and his love for them. But religion, folks, is a killer. It will kill you. Wow. You know, religion kind of says you must put up with whatever the devil throws at you, because that's just the way it is. But no, as a believer, you have authority. You have authority as a believer. And, you know, when you go on Facebook and people post stuff there all the time, and, you know, I'd like to fast from Facebook forever, you know, but I try to use that as a tool of communication. But I read stuff on there from religious people, and I read stuff on there from grace people as well, okay? Listen, if there's no scripture backing what people say, it is only a philosophy and their opinion. I don't care if it's from a grace person or someone else. If it's only their words out there and they have no backing of scripture, it's their opinion and philosophy and not a theology. It's something you don't want to build your life on. Therefore, you need to check what is always said with the Word. The Word, it always has to line up with the Word in the context of what is being said. Because if you take out the text, you have a con. Right? So you always want to make sure that you line up what is being said with the Word of God. If you can't back it in the Word, it is not supporting anything. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't care if it's in the fad to do. It's got to be backed up with the Word. Hello. Boy, y'all are quiet. Amen. It's true. Amen. The Word is true. So we've been talking about spirit, soul, and body. And I'm going to utilize a little bit of this. I'm going to show you how powerful this word is. Spirit, soul, and body. And the soul realm is what we deal with on an everyday place. And it's the soul realm that can really get us in trouble, because the body is kind of neutral. The body does what the mind tells it to do. How many agree with that? All right? How many know that? So the body tells what the mind, you know, mind tells it to do. The body does what the mind tells it to do. So your soulish realm is very important, because he said, you know, I want you to prosper even as what? Your soul prospers. Even as this mind, will, and emotions, as it prospers, so I want you to prosper. How your soul goes, or how you'll go. Right? And we are not to be caught up in emotions. We are emotional people. God has us, with emotions. But we are not to be led by our emotions. We are to be led by the Spirit and by the Word. Because if you're led by your emotions, most of you wouldn't be here today. You'd say, it's a sunny day. I worked hard all week. Oh, my gosh, you know, this is going on. That's going on. I'm just going to have bedside assembly and stay in bed, right? But you being a mature believer and knowing what the Word says, you know, a lot of people say, you don't have to go and attend church any longer. Well, we are the church, right? The Bible says what? Where two or three are gathered together, Christ is where? In the midst. So, you know, Holly, I, and Elise, we could have church this morning at the house. But then I go into the Word, and I also find that the Word says, forsake not, what? The assembling of yourself together, and even more as you see the day approaching, right? So, listen, I think it's important to come. Why do we go to the house of the Lord and gather with believers? For several reasons. Number one, for support. We have a great support system. We're here together. We're supporting one another. We're praying for one another. Amen. We care about one another, right? You know, we love one another, right? Church is a place, you know, you learn to love the brethren, because some of the brethren you got to learn to love, right? So you love one another, right? You care for one another. You support one another. It gives you an opportunity to sow, amen, and support around the world what's going on. And really, the biggest reason, I believe, is because you get to receive teaching. You get the Word, hopefully, listen to me, rightly divided. very important. Rightly divided is very important. Folks, and I'm telling you, there's things I used to preach. I'd look at my sermons, I'd never preach them again. Why? Because I got revelation of what God has done. And I'm like, wow, did I really say that? You know? Amen. And so we grow, and it's an opportunity to grow. But I hear a lot of people even today say, well, it's not necessary. You don't have to go. It's really not. You can stay at home. You're yourself and I and Jesus and have probably a pretty good time, you know? But I really believe there's something about corporate worship. Gifts are used in the body. Singing. Amen. I know you can sing to yourself and make a joyful noise, and that's the scripture for people who can't sing. They make a joyful noise, just saying, amen. But it's a great time. It's a great time. Praise God. I enjoy getting together with you folks. I love you folks. I want to see what's going on in your life. I care about you. Amen. God cares about you. Praise God. And so it's really important. And it's important to get the word. All right? So we have this soul thing that we have to deal with on a daily basis. When you wake up in the morning, you're going to be dealing with your thought life. You're going to be dealing with it. Amen. And you can allow thoughts of negativity and gloom and despair. Most people, I believe, live in a half-empty bottle world. They do. They just, you know, even their view of God is half-empty. They don't view God as a loving, caring, for them God. I've had to really change my thought on that, Robert. I had to really change my thought on that because I thought for years God was out to get me. Even when I was born again, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, pray for me, I thought God was out to get me. Amen. I've had to change my thought that, you know, God is good and God wants good for me. I've had to change my mind on that because I've always thought God wasn't, you know, oh my gosh, you're God. So I've had to change my thought that God is really for me. Boy, when you know that, that really puts a peace in your heart. And you're not fearful because the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. And you're no longer under torment because you're always thinking God's out to get you. And, you know, God's out to, and that's what religion does, buddy. It will teach you that. It will tell you that. It will make you feel like that. If it doesn't, you kind of leave going, I feel, wow, God's out to get me. And you know, the phone call comes, it's always the worst. And then I noticed a pattern in my life, and maybe some of you have the same pattern. I would always think the worst instead of the best. Am I the only one ever do that? Am I the only one that, you know, somebody call you or somebody says something or all of a sudden you're thinking the worst instead of the best? Really? Come on. Anybody else here? Come on. Anybody else here? No, come on. Raise your hand because I know all of you are guilty of that. Your boss says something and you're thinking the worst automatically instead of the best. Hello? What is that? It's in our soulish realm. It's here that we're dealing with that emotion, and somebody says something, or you hear something, and then you think, they're talking about me. And you start thinking the worst on stuff, and it has nothing to do with you. If we could just change our thinking, if we could just line it up with what God has to say about us, how much more life would be pleasurable to live. How much more joy we'd be having in our life when we really have a true concept of a real, loving, caring Father that's out for the best in me. I'll tell you what, I've always been out for the best in my children. Wanted to bring out the best, wanted to, you know, just try to give them everything I could as a parent, reasonably, because they have responsibilities. Say amen, Lisa. Amen. And love them and mature them and help grow them. But you know what? I've always had the best in mind for them. And how much more does God have the best in mind for you? So, you know, a lot of times, you know, the devil just plays this game with your mind. He does. He'll come up and sit on your shoulder. You ever see that cartoon where the enemy, the devil's on this shoulder and the angel's on that one? And he's there and he speaks into this side of the mind. And then he'll come over here and speak into that side of the mind. The devil will. And then the angel will. Then the devil will. And that's kind of how it works, folks. If you don't have a based on the word, that's kind of what you do. And then you start believing what the devil's saying. And the devil wants you to have a warped concept of your good God, loving God, always loving you God. He wants you to have the worst concept and then start believing that everybody's out to get you and nobody loves you and nobody cares for you. And you start coming to church saying, you know, pastor didn't shake my hand this morning. And he didn't greet me. He doesn't love me. And that is a lie. And people buy into that all the time. Oh my gosh, if you knew how much we loved you. And I never understood that. I loved everybody. But people have that thought. Just turn to somebody and say, you are just stinking loved. Come on. You say, you are stinking loved. You love so much it stinks. Amen. God loves you. I'm not even going where I'm going this morning because we're going somewhere here. But I want to get there. But I want you to know how the enemy works in people's minds and what they begin to think. And then you start building your philosophy on that. And then before long it becomes a pattern. Then everybody's out to get you. You know, like that old man that had this huge mustache one day, his grandchild went in, decided to do a trick on him. He put some Limburger cheese underneath his mustache while he was sleeping. And all of a sudden he woke up and said, wow, it stinks in here. You know, and he went into the kitchen. Ooh, it stinks in here too. And he went to the living room. Wow, it stinks in here too. And then he went outside and he said, wow, the whole world stinks. Right? Man, no, God's good. All right. So, come up here, Andrew. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, Robert, come on up here. I use Robert all the time. I love you, Robert. All right. So, you stand over here. Robert, you stand right there. All right. Praise God. See, isn't that good-looking guys? Linda, come up here. Yeah, praise the Lord, Linda. Come on up here. Amen. All right. So let's change the order here. You come over here. Linda, come over on this side. Come over this side. All right. You're going to get in touch with your feminine side this morning, guys. Spirit, perfect. Perfect. Soul, still working on that. Body, flex your muscles, Robert. That's why I really brought you up here, because I do. Come on, bro. Yeah, body, that's it. Somebody get a picture of that, will you? All right. So here is the between. This is what we got here. We got the spirit, we got the soul, we got the body. This guy really doesn't do anything except what this guy tells him to do. If this guy doesn't understand this guy, then this guy's messed up, and then this guy's going to be messed up. But if this guy has an understanding of who he is here, in his mind, in his emotions, then this guy is going to act according to what this guy knows here. But most people say, how do we determine this? How do we know this? I want to show you scripture, because I was dealing with this last week, and I had a couple ladies ask me after church. They're not here today. One's in Colorado, and one's going to be back. But they asked me this, and I told them, you're going to have to get this, because I'm teaching on this. How do I know this? Hebrews 4:12. Because what happens, we get so messed up here, and this is a renewing process. This is a renewing process, so this guy does what's right, okay? So, because we know who we are now in Christ, and so we just act according to who we are. Amen? Because we know who we are over here in Christ, that we're 100% perfect in our spirit. So no flaws, like Jesus. I mean, when you're born again, you're born rich. You're born prosperous. You're born whole. You're born at peace. Amen. So what does it say? For what? For what? For what? Say that with me. For the what? For the what? Here's something that God gave me this revelation long before I ever knew Andrew Womack or heard anything of his teaching or anything. I taught on this years ago, and this is so important because I want you to see this. You guys can turn around and look at it. For the word of God is living. I was in seminary one time. I had a professor got up and said, you know, that word of God isn't alive. That's why you need to know what you know in the Word, right? for the word of God is living. Actually, that word is active. The word of God is active. Isn't that great? It's active. The word is active. Everybody say the word is active. The word is active and powerful. That's why you need to get the word out of your mouth, out of this mouth, out of this. That's why God made you a speaking spirit. Amen. Powerful than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of what? Wow. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. It is a discerning between soul and spirit. Woo! That doesn't thump your thumper. It is so powerful that it goes between right here. So you know how to respond here because the word is so powerful, it's right in between. It cuts right in between soul and spirit, and I call it the guardian of whether it's my soul rim or whether it's my spirit rim. Do you see what I'm saying? It is so powerful, it's piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow and is a what? Of the thoughts and intents of your heart. It is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. That is why this word, when this guy gets out of line, I know this guy's messed up because it hadn't responded to this. But when I respond to this, all of a sudden this is acting just normal instead of abnormal. You ever see the movie Young Frankenstein? Anybody see that besides Pastor? Two of you. When they go down to the brain bank and they send him, I think it was Marty Feldman was on that, and who was it, Gene Wilder, and they send Marty down to the brain bank to get a brain for Frankenstein, and he goes down and says, make sure you get the normal one, and they had all these brains lined up, and he looked, and it says, abnormal, and he said, abnormal, and he took that brain and put it in Frankenstein, and Frankenstein responded in that way. Abnormal, right? So, y'all got to get it. Amen. So I don't encourage you to rent the movie, but anyway, that's what it is. So, but when you put in the right thought from the word that's now lined up and dividing of the spirit, because it's the discerner in between, it's the one that tells you what's right, what's wrong, what to do, and how to respond. Amen. Then all of a sudden, the body flexes those muscles again, sir. The body, come on, let's see. Whoa! Hallelujah. And he's strong now. This guy is strong. You hug him, it's like, man, he got some muscles, man. He's a strong dude. So that responds to the word. But when we don't have the word, the soul does its own thing. And it goes all by its feelings, its emotions, what people think about me. And there you go. Hallelujah. And then you're way over there. Right? You're out of the picture, right? Now, she's always there, but a lot of people don't know because they haven't believed and received and know what they have in Christ. And the reason they don't know, because they haven't picked up the word. And then they haven't seen themselves in the word. They read the word as if it's just some history book, but they don't see themselves in the word. But when you know who you are in the word, all of a sudden, man, you know, it's the thoughts, and it even gets to your thought life. It gets here. Amen. Your thought life begins to change. Because now I'm not thinking the way I used to think. I'm thinking in line as how Jesus thinks. Amen. Why? Because now I have revelation on the word of God and what is in me. And so therefore I'm responding naturally. It's not work. Hello? It's not work. It's just, I just see it. I believe it. That's who I am. That's what it says I am. That's how I respond now. It's become so easy. But what happens is people get messed up all the time because renewing your mind is not a one-time thing. Amen. Being born again is. When you're born again, your spirit, wow, that's it. You're there. But renewing your mind is a process every moment of the day. Because thoughts come at, you get weird thoughts at times. Maybe you're the only one who gets weird thoughts. Like, push that little lady in line and see what she does. You know? Have you ever, do you all get those thoughts, you know? I remember when I was a kid, it said, I had a BB gun, and I said, I wonder how this would feel if I shot myself in the foot. I had that thought come in my head, and I had some rubber boots on, and I thought, you know, it won't hurt too much. It hurt. I acted on the thought. It hurt. It's like, hurt real bad. You know, like, be careful. You shoot your eye out, right? Amen. How stupid am I? Well, where did that come from? I would have never thought of that. Hello? But, man, it hurt. Don't shoot yourself with a BB gun. I'm telling you, it hurts. I can tell you that. It hurts. Well, where did the thought come from? You have all these thoughts coming at your mind. Lustful thoughts come at your mind. In the society we're living in, all those thoughts coming in your mind, all this stuff. That's why the Bible says we take captive those thoughts. How do you take captive those thoughts? You take the Word. The Word captures those thoughts. It's discerner of the thoughts. It's able to capture those thoughts. And you line those thoughts up with the Word of God. Amen. And you have soul peace. Amen. You know, the Word will tell you, oh, she burnt the beans, so divorce her. First thing. You know, you've been married a day. You know, she cooked one night, and all of a sudden you get that thought. All these thoughts coming in your mind. How do you filter those thoughts? You filter them through the Word of God. All right, give them a big hand, all right? So, it even is able to tell you the intents of your heart. You know, guard your heart because out of it flows what? Think about that. Out of your heart, guard your heart. Because out of it flows issues. I don't want any issues, right? Amen. It flows, and the Word of God is able to guard your heart. Amen. It keeps you from doing stupid things, stupid, right? No, you're not stupid, right? No. Amen. All right, y'all still here this morning? I just wanted to share that with you because it's so very, very important. Amen. Very important that we understand that. So turn to somebody and say, it's time to get rid of your hurt. A lot of hurt is a feeling, folks. Hurt, being hurt, listen to me, being hurt is a choice. It is a choice. Hurt is designed to keep you away from the blessings of God in your life. Hurt keeps you where you are and stops you from going forward. Some people are stuck in hurt since 1954. They have not got past hurt. God wants you to get past that emotion of being hurt, okay? God wants you to get, look at Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Look what Paul said in this powerful scripture. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting. Some of y'all need to forget some stuff. Forget about it. Forgetting those things which are behind. Why? Because Paul knew that his future was not in his past. He could not go on if he kept remembering and allowing that memory to come up of how he persecuted the very church he was serving. So he had to forget it. He said, I've got to forget those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are what? Ahead. I press towards the goal, the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. You got to forget some things. Turn to somebody and say, forget about it. Amen. Listen, a broken and hurt person will not be able to bear up under pressure. People fall apart, right? Harsh words can pierce like a sword, but the words of the wise, Proverbs says, brings healing. You got to locate the hurt and get rid of it by the power and the authority of Jesus. Don't build a foundation or use it as a crutch. Don't go on Oprah to tell them about, is Oprah still on, by the way? Is Jerry Springer still on? How'd you know that? Don't go on Jerry Springer, right? And talk about how somebody, and listen, in church people can get hurt all the time. because they just do. Religion will hurt you, right? But location, hurt will distort your view and make you bitter towards others. It will stop from moving you forward. Paul said, I'm forgetting about it. I'm pressing towards the mark. To stop hurt from happening, you have to stop finding your point of reference. Stop looking in your past and finding your point of reference and relating those pains to every situation. I'm just doing a little pastoral teaching right here. I just want you to understand. All right? You cannot. People see the world through a filter of their past life. And they see people they meet through their past filter. And they can never have koinonia and fellowship truly because they're judging them on their past hurts and pains. Jesus took your past. Aren't you glad? Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad? Praise God. I'm glad he took my yesterday or day before and day before that and last year and the year before that. Stop exposing your wounds to everybody. If you expose your wounds, that's why people get on Facebook and they expose their wounds to everybody. And I know people need support and help, but stop it. Stop it. Don't expose your wounds. An exposed wound will never heal. It will never heal. Quit picking at it. Quit picking at it. It will allow the balm of Gilead to come into your hurt in that emotional area that you've been scarred and let it heal over. Amen. You may end up with a scar, but you're not ending up with a sore. Oh, I'm preaching. Help me out, Jeff. Can you help me out? So stop exposing your wounds. Nobody wants to see your wounds anyway. I don't like looking at wounds. You know, oh, you want to see my wound? Yeah, cover that thing back up, baby. Amen. I don't want to see that. Amen. I am not the doctor, and I do not want to be the doctor. No, cover that up. Amen. Oh, my gosh. Amen. Stop exposing. There are three things that you'll notice when you are around hurt people. Number one, they're unpleasant to be around. Number one, they're unpleasant to be around. Why are they unpleasant to be around? Why? Because they talk about their past all the time. A lot of people live in their past, they never get past their past, and then their past is their future, and that's where they are. They prompt you to ask them, what's wrong? You ever have anybody do that? You know, good for you, Jeff. Amen. I do. I'm a sucker every time. What's wrong? Are you okay? Amen. They wear their feelings on their sleeve and seek sympathy. And then they gather other people around them for their cause. They become angry, which can turn inward. Right? They lose initiative to fight against the hurt. And then depression sets in. Y'all hear me this morning? They seldom make good decisions. Hurt people, when they're living in their emotions, I see people all the time that make some of the poorest decisions in life. That's because they're at the depth of pain and they can't and they're unable to make a decision. Don't make a decision when you're hurt, folks. Allow that hurt to heal, then move on and make a decision. Are you listening to me? If you allow yourself to be hurt, don't allow yourself to be hurt. Jesus was hurt so you wouldn't have to be. That's why he said he bore our grief. What does Andrew say? Grief is what? The source of all what? Who said that? All bitterness. Grief is the source of all bitterness. Wow, what a powerful statement. So hurt people make decisions to protect their feelings, not their future. Just give you a little stuff here this morning. This is all dealing with the soul realm. This is where it is, guys. Understand that life is a series of decisions that must be governed by the Word of God. I've had people come to me and say, you know, God told me to move so-and-so. And I knew in my spirit that was an emotional decision. It was not a God thing. And you know, I've had other people say, I got a word from God. I had one person move on one word from God. And you know what? Their life has not been good for the last few years. You never move for money. I'm just saying. You never move. You move by God, by the Spirit and by wisely counsel if you ever did. But you never do that. People take, if you get a word from somebody, 99% of the time, God's already speaking to you about it. God is already speaking to you. Don't go on some whim. Somebody had pepperoni pizza last night, and they get up and say, I've got a word from you. Tall, dark, and handsome coming your way, and you're married already. Hello? No, wrong word, right? No, you judge the word by what? The word. If God hadn't been speaking to you, and if it doesn't exhort, if it doesn't encourage, if it doesn't uplift, then you need to discard it. Thank you for your... So understand that life is a series of decisions that must be governed by the word. To live an abundant and prosperous life, it all starts with God's word. Amen. And when it's on the word and your life is based on the word, you're going to have some joy unspeakable and full of glory. It doesn't mean you won't go through tough times, but you'll go through tough times on top instead of underneath. Because you know your God's working all things together for the good of those that love him, those that are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. I'm going through it. I'm victorious while I'm going through it. Amen. I know God's got my best, and I thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And you don't fall apart every time you're facing adversity. Because you know you're more than a conqueror. You know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you get up and you rise above it. Amen. Praise God. Stand up this morning. Amen. That's a lot of teaching today, right? Yeah. Praise God. I want to get that out today because it's so important, church. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I am forgiven. I am healed. I'm blessed. I'm not trying to get blessed. I am blessed. I am a blessing. Turn to somebody and say, I am a blessing. I'm not cursed. I'm not under a curse. Jesus took the curse that I might be blessed. My family's blessed. My friend's blessed. Even my husband's blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't have one, that's all right. I'm blessed. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. Don't need him, don't want him, one less bell to answer, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. One less egg to fry, I just have to fry it for myself, amen, hallelujah, that's good, praise God. Oh, you are loved today. You are mature believers growing in Jesus. There's an old song that says, shake off those heavy chains, right? What is it? Heavy bands, lift up those holy hands, amen. Well, you need to do that because you're blessed today. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Amen. Father, thank you this morning because the word governs our life. God, we are so blessed by your word today. Your word, God, is what we go to. Lord, your word is what's in our mind. Your word, God, comes up out of our spirit, Lord, and directs our lives. Lord, we thank you for the solid word of Jesus Christ. That word out of our mouth, Lord. Hallelujah, God. That word produces authority. God, it directs our paths. Amen. Lord, we thank you for that today. We build our life, God, on that word. What you say, God, what you say to us. Lord, we thank you for that. We build our life on that. You are our hope this morning. And God is able to discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Thank you for that word today, God. We give you the glory and the praise. Bless your people, God. We call them already blessed and favored of you. Call them to have a productive, Jesus-filled week in the kingdom out there, God, changing lives and making a difference. In your name, amen. Find five people, say, I'm blessed. How about you?